So this morning is all about when you and I are taken for granted. Just quick show of hands. How many of you at some point of your life have felt like I've been taken for granted? All right. Good. I appreciate the honesty today. Tonight, or this morning, I want a lot of amens and a lot of come ons and a lot of, you know, hallelujah. You can cut off the last part of the hallelujah and you can get really Pentecostal and just go hallelujah if you want to. It's up to you. Hallelujah, up to you. That sounds like a Dr. Seuss thing. Anyways, this morning it's about that, being when we feel like we're taken for granted. And it's those situations in life, right, where you go to great lengths and you work hard and you're trying to make something, you know, good. And it's not that you're trying to do this to like show off for people. It's just you value whatever it is that you're doing. You want it to be done well. You go to great lengths for something and you don't receive the kind of gratitude or attention that you expected or that you thought you deserved or even that you did deserve. And so this morning is kind of how Jesus relates to that. And that for those of us who feel unappreciated, those of us that feel undervalued, those of us that maybe feel unseen, that's what this morning is about. And I'm not talking about people who are hungry for attention. I'm not saying like, oh, this message is for those of you that want people to see you. That's a different message that we'll share separately in my office or something like that. I don't know, but this is for those that give, that serve, that sacrifice more than anyone realizes. Those that are doing it for the right reasons. But every now and then, and this is just part of our human emotions, right? Every now and then you wonder, like, does anybody see this? Does anybody appreciate this? Does anyone even care? Like, all you're looking for is an acknowledgement. All you're looking for is a thank you. And it can be discouraging when you start to feel that way, can't it? And if it's any comfort to you, which I hope it is, I pray it is, Jesus has been there too. So if you feel underappreciated, Jesus understands what that feels like. In Luke chapter 17, we see this kind of play out, and that's where we're going to spend most of our time today. And I'm going to read to you a few portions of scripture, kind of unpack it, and then we'll jump into some things that you can take home with you. It says in Luke 17, starting with verse 11, as Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, there were 10 men with leprosy that stood at a distance and were crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So Jesus comes into town, and Jesus has been doing some pretty incredible things at this point. He's been teaching, he's been preaching, he's been doing all of this stuff, he's been healing. And so there's people that are aware of what has been happening around him and what he's been doing. And he comes into town, and there's these 10 men with a highly contagious skin disease, and they're crying out for God's help. Now, hear me out, because I know that specific example, you might be like, I don't relate to that. I don't necessarily relate to that. But I think we can relate in this sense. And I'll kind of, at different points, kind of speak to specific kinds of people, right? So to the moms out there, maybe you relate to this. You come home, you've worked all day, your kids are there. They're not like waiting at the door to say, Mom, I love you so much. Thank you for working and providing for us. What are they doing instead? Mom, when's dinner going to be ready? Has that ever happened to a mom? Nobody, apparently. All right, so I think I heard a half hallelujah from somebody. Yeah, that's okay. Hallelujah. Okay. Right? It's coming home and it's like everybody in the house just is like, I need to get my homework done. Can you take care of that? Can you help me with this? I've got these activities and you're shuttling from place to place, right? You're a provider. You're a cook. You're a housekeeper. You're an Uber driver. You're a counselor. You're a doctor. You're a life coach. You're a personal shopper. You're a referee sometimes for your family, right? Sometimes you're a defense attorney for your family. Sometimes you're a judge. And even sometimes you're executioner. Right? To the glory of God. And every once in a while, that doesn't have to just be moms. I know that dads face these things too, and family members just in general. And you probably think to yourself, yo, okay, what about me though? Like, what about me? All I'm doing is helping and feeding and doing all these things. Like, does anyone notice me? Do you see what I'm doing? Let's keep going in scripture. Luke 17 continues. It says, he looked at them. This is Jesus' response to them. He said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw what he was healed, or saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Okay, so Jesus has just finished up, like I said, sharing some very important parables, very important teachings, very important stories. He's healing people. He's doing incredible works. And he's traveling to Jerusalem with his disciples. They're traveling to the northern region of Israel, which is between Samaria and Galilee. And him pointing out Samaritan, this is not by accident. There's purpose behind this. If you were to, this maybe triggers something. John 4, woman at the well. Right, what happens there? Jesus travels through Samaria and he meets this woman at the well. She's a Samaritan, and she's not just a Samaritan. She had been living a poor lifestyle. And basically, he leads a revival that happens here, and it starts with this woman at the well, her encounter with Jesus. Now, that event had already happened. Now, this was significant because Samaritans believed that they were the true descendants of Israel. Well, the Jews did not. And so there was this deep-rooted, I mean, we're talking about deep-rooted hostility, and there's more to it than that, but we don't need to go into it today. Deep-rooted hostility between the Samaritans and the Jews. And the Jews would go way out of their way to stay away from these people. They would travel around when you could just travel through and it'd be much faster. And so that's even why Jesus chose the Good Samaritan. You guys know that parable, right? That's why he chose the Samaritan as the key player. So you have this group of people, right, with this feared skin disease that they had no cure for at that time. And just as a little bit of understanding on what they had, what they could have had, regardless, they would have been considered ceremonially unclean. In the Old Testament, they would not have been allowed to enter the camp. They would have had to yell unclean so no one came in contact. I mean, this was embarrassing to say the least. It was painful. It was all of the above. And the priest would only perform a cleanliness ritual once the disease stopped worsening. And so because of all of that, Jesus instructs them, hey, go to the priest. Have him check on you, in a sense, is what they're thinking. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, if you have got an actual, like, handy-dandy, you know, solid Bible with you, or you can do it on your phone or whatever, underline as they went. As I was putting this together, I thought, man, we should do a series called As They Went. Because here's the deal. Sometimes it's in your obedience. It's in your action. As you went, that God moves. They're healed. And lo and behold, one person comes back to Jesus. Not only realizing what God did, but giving him gratitude for that. And I think for dramatic effect, really, Luke points it out. By the way, it was the Samaritan. Now, Jesus is standing there, and he's basically saying, what happened to the other nine that are healed? Where are these guys? Like, has no one else come to give praise to God? And I think sometimes we read that, and we think, whoa, is Jesus like, is he, you need like a pat on the back here? No, Jesus, the Son of God, he needed zero affirmation from others. You want to know why? Because he had the approval of God. He knew that. He didn't need the approval of man. And we are going to reflect on that during communion. But he still points out, where are the other people? Why aren't they coming back to at least say thank you? And so for those of you that feel unseen, let me just give you a few things to remember today. The first thing is this: how they make you feel is not who you are. How others make you feel, it's not who you are. Now, intellectually, in our minds, we know that, right? You know that. But practically, the problem is that we too often, we tie our identity to someone else's reaction to us, don't we? We look at something like gratitude and we say, gratitude will give me satisfaction. And then if we feel ignored, we find ourselves feeling less than. And so we tie it to how people respond. The perfect example of this, if you have children, Christmas is coming, right? The perfect example is Christmas. One of the things that my wife and I have started trying to do is we want to give our kids less stuff and we want to create more memories, right? And so it's this great idea. The problem is that kids want stuff. They don't want memories. Right? Last year, what we did, we went on a trip to Great Wolf Lodge, and my wife had this great idea where it was, you have these gifts and there's like print-offs of different pictures and they're supposed to figure out. So like there was a picture of a wolf and there was a picture of like a log cabin. And so then it was like, they opened the presents and then they got to figure out like, well, what does this all mean together? And so they figure it out and I have it on video and I thought about showing it, but I didn't want to because, well, my hair wasn't combed. So anyways, no, that's not true. Come on. I'm not that, you know, don't worry about it. It was always combed. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. So the kids get all of these pictures, and there's just like a, like, we're going to Great Wolf Lodge. They know what Great Wolf Lodge is, and they look at it, and they're like, cool. Where's the other presents, right? They wanted stuff, not pictures, right? And this is if you haven't figured this out already, Christmas in general, like, do not tie your value to how your kids react to presents. If you do, you will be crushed every single year. How they make you feel is not, you know, listen, remember last week, Jesus, what happened? He was tempted in the wilderness and he endures all of that. The devil tries to bring him down. It just doesn't happen. Well, following that, he returns to Galilee. His ministry is officially underway. And he goes, and what we're seeing right now, he's going to what would have been the most diverse portion of Israel at that time. The Jews that were living outside of Galilee were kind of looked down on. Jews living outside of Galilee looked down on those living in Galilee. And in fact, they would consider them kind of like only moderately Jewish. And so Jesus is going to where he's most needed. He's going, in a sense, to the marginalized. And so we read in Luke 4, 14 through 15, it says, then Jesus returned to Galilee. He's filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues, and then, hear this, and he was praised by everyone. Things are underway. It's going good. Jesus' influence is growing. He's teaching. People love it. It's great. He's getting a lot of, and this is why I told you this earlier, he's getting a lot of come ons, right? There's a lot of people going, that's right. And there's a lot of people saying, good. I once heard it referred to, the whole thing, as cowheads. Like you're mooing. Get it? Yeah. So if I'm ever like, I need more cowheads in the church, now you understand why. I won't say that, but. So he's getting a lot of the good. He goes to Nazareth. He comes home to where he grew up. This is his hometown. People know him, right? They know his family. They've done business. Jesus, he grew up as his dad, Joseph. He's a carpenter, right? Maybe he built them like their tables. I don't know. But they know him, and he teaches more in the synagogue. Jesus proclaims that he is the anointed one. And he's doing as he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. It's this profound moment. And we read further in verse 22. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. They're saying things like, how can this be? Isn't that Joseph's son? The thing about Jesus being back home, where everybody knows your name, they don't know him as the Messiah, though, do they? They know him as Joseph's son. They know him as Mary's son. See, the people in his hometown, they want to see signs and wonders because he's been doing these things, but they cannot wrap their head around the fact that he is the Messiah. Jesus shares from the Old Testament, and he contrasts the faith of two Gentiles with the unbelief of the Nazarenes, and he knows what he's doing. And this rubs them the wrong way. And we further read in verse 28, it says, when they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him and they forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. Now, spoiler alert, he's able to get out of there. But he goes from hero to getting canceled in a matter of minutes. And I think there's an important principle for us to take away right there. Someone's inability to see your worth, it does not decrease your value. And the reason why is so important to us today. Your value isn't based on what others think of you, but by who God says you are. There's your value. That's such an important lesson in today's culture. It doesn't matter if you're 2 years old or 102 years old. In today's culture, in the way things work, that is such an important lesson. See, the thing is that it's not what others say or think about you. It's what Scripture says that gives us value, right? What did God know? He knew you before you were formed. Before you even existed in your mother's womb, God knew you. There's your value, right? We are chosen by God, and we're not just chosen, we're set apart. There's your value. We're called by God and forgiven by the grace of Jesus. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You and me, we've been adopted into his family as joint heirs. Think about that. You're a joint heir in the kingdom of God. There's your value. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. How others make you feel, that's not a reflection of who you are. So that's the first thing. The second is this: those you serve the most often appreciate you the least. Again, this goes back to the home, right? This is just a principle. It doesn't mean that they don't love you. It doesn't mean they don't notice you. They just sometimes take you for granted. In the Old Testament, there's a story of a man named Joseph. He's in prison, different Joseph than Jesus' father. He's in prison at one point in his story, and it's a pretty profound story. If you've never read it, I encourage you to do that. And Pharaoh, who was in charge, he throws his cupbearer into prison as well. And so Joseph and the cupbearer and the baker, it sounds like a children's story, they're in the prison together. Cupbearer has a dream, and Joseph has grown somewhat famous for being able to interpret dreams well. And so he's known for that. And so the cupbearer tells Joseph about it. And Joseph says, hey, good news, you're going to have your job back in 3 days. And we read this in Genesis. It says, Joseph tells him, he says, and please remember me. Do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. So 3 days later, on Pharaoh's birthday, he restores the cupbearer. Things are back to normal. And we read this in verse 23. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. Listen, those that you serve the most often appreciate you the least. Another practical example, sports. Anybody care about sports at any point in their life? Or know somebody that cares about a sport? Good. Just want to level the playing field there. But I mean, think about it. You have athletes that will have Hall of Fame careers, and then they have one bad season. It's like, gone. You're dead to me, right? Case in point, Russell Wilson. Yeah? Which, congratulations. Yeah. 70-20. That is hard to do. Anyways. We see it there, though, right? Like, what's extraordinary, it starts to become normal. That's the point. We get used to these people that do incredible things, and that just becomes normal. That's what you're used to. Well, here's the thing. What's normal isn't celebrated, right? It's expected. You get into that place of like, well, this is just how it works. This is who you are. This is what you're good at. And so that becomes expected. And so right now, maybe you're facing disappointment because what used to be celebrated in your life isn't anymore. Maybe that's become normal. Let me just speak to that. You want to know when you're good at something? If you're ever wondering, like, how do I know when I'm good at something? It's when you stop getting compliments. That's it. I mean, in some weird way, being trustworthy, being dependable, reflecting God in your character, right, eventually will lead people to not notice it. It'll be normal. And I say weird way because it's almost like you're taken for granted when you reach that point, right? This next weekend, I'm going to be in Idaho for my grandmother's graveside service. Our family's going out there. And her memorial service was last weekend? It was last weekend. Anybody ever be like, oh, it's only been 2 days? And you're like, actually, it's been 2 months. That happen to anyone? Just me? Okay, good. I'll go see somebody about that. Anyways, but at her memorial service, you heard story after story of her faithfulness to God and her dependability and all those things. That's who she was. But the thing about it was that just became normal for her. That was grandma. Many of you have a family member or a friend that's just like that. Something you don't necessarily notice in the moment, but you do notice it later, don't you? So that's the second thing. The third one is this, and I'll end with this. And this is definitely the most important. What's unseen by people is often most significant to God. Please remember that. What's unseen by people is often most significant to God. Now, unfortunately, the way things work in our culture is very opposite, isn't it? People celebrate what they see, but not what they don't see. And some good examples of it, but just to show you, it's you graduate from high school or from college or whatever, and you get congratulations on that. You get a promotion, congratulations on that promotion. Right? You buy a new house if you can, in like congrats, really, like congrats if you get a new house. But you never receive congratulations on strengthening your character, do you? You never receive congratulations. Well, you do, but it's different. Congratulations on overcoming addictions. Nobody receives congratulations on forgiving others. Nobody receives a congratulation on showing mercy. There's no congratulations being divvied out for daily disciplines in our faith. And that's not to make you feel bad if you're like, man, I haven't congratulated anybody for these. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we're told that what's seen is what's significant. But with God, what's invisible is often much more valuable. Amen? Just making sure everybody's still awake. There's no Seahawks game, by the way. You have nowhere to go, all right? I like what Matthew tells us. And if you're wondering who said this, it was Jesus. It says in Matthew 6, "Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." God sees it. The Hebrew word for that is El Roi, which simply means the God who sees me. The God who sees me. God's the one who sees your commitment to your family, to your children, to his church, to your job, to your community. He sees that. He sees your commitment to the marginalized, to the hurting, to the outcast, to the broken, to those that others have given up on. He sees that. Listen, if your spouse, if your boss, if your kids, if your friends, even if your church doesn't see it, God does. God sees it. Hebrews tells us, "For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true." God sees you. As the team comes up and we prepare for communion together, It's interesting. You look back on what Jesus did for these 10 lepers after he healed them. And 9 of them keep on going on. And 1 comes back. You don't read anything about Jesus getting upset, do you? It's not like, and one returned and Jesus had his feelings hurt. Or Jesus kind of kicked the dirt with his sandal and just kind of No, you don't read anything about that. He didn't get upset. Did Jesus let it get to him? Right? Like we read this and it's interesting. Did Jesus let it keep him from doing what he was doing? No. Jesus continued to teach about the kingdom of God. He would talk about what he would endure and his eventual return. He didn't let the response from people deter him from his mission. Because he wasn't doing what he was doing for the applause of people. He was doing it as a reflection of his love for God. And just as a side note, you know, this one that came back to Jesus, only one came back to Jesus. Let's be that one. Be that one. Don't be the one that just goes on your way. Be that one. Reaffirm people. Bless others. Show gratitude. Take notice of what's happening around you. All you got to do is turn on the television, or if people don't use televisions anymore, go on your social media or whatever and go on your favorite news outlet. I mean, the top 20 things you're going to see right out of the gates, they're not reaffirming people, are they? It's interesting. None of these news companies, their slogan is not reaffirming the world. No. We don't see that, do we? So let's be that one. And what we do isn't for the response of others, but out of an overflow of a response for what Jesus did for you and I. Amen. Why don't you stand today? And if you just bow your heads with me, I'm going to pray. Team is going to lead us in a song, and as they're doing that, you can either go to the front or the back to get the elements and then go back to your seat, and we'll take communion together after this song. But Lord, I thank you for what you did for us. And just as I just mentioned, we want to live out of the overflow of what you have done for us. You went to the cross freely. And this is just one example of how you were taken for granted. And there's many of them. And you endured all of that as you approached the cross. The people that cheered for you a week prior and ushered you in were now an angry mob wanting your death because you weren't what they expected you to be. And yet you still showed love. You paid the price. You took on our ransom. And so we thank you for that today. And I just pray, God, that you would inspire us. That you would lead us to that place where it's not about what other people are saying about us. It's really about what you have said about us and what you are doing in us. That doesn't discount the hurt that happens. And so I pray that you would minister to those that maybe have been wounded. That they're struggling a little bit there. Work in that space. And encourage all of us to be that one. We want to live for an audience of one also. We want to show gratitude to the one who is worthy of all of it. And so as we sing this song, prepare our hearts for communion. Prepare our hearts as we take part in the very thing that you did with your disciples prior to your arrest, your death, and your resurrection.
We thank you, God, that you're with us right now and you're working in the midst of everything that we have going on. We love you in your name. Amen.